So we're on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, and I apologize for the fact that we're not up to the Daf Yomi yet, but hopefully we'll catch up. And on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara has a drasha to derive the Sheva Mitzvus B'nei Noach, and you'll see that's parallel to Tosus Divra Maschil. Lo Nitzricha, I think it is. Let me just see. One second. The third Tosus on the page, Eser Mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. So if you go across there, you should find something called Minani Mili. And the Gemara darshins a Pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. This we saw yesterday, I'll just review it. The Omar Kra, the Torah says, it's parallel to Tosus Divrei Maschil Lo Nitzricha. Lo Nitzricha. So the first word in the word in the line is Ha'ilon. So we'll start today from Minani Mili. Again, we're not going to read this all word for word because we covered that yesterday. But the Gemara tries to show that in every word in this pasuk is referring to another, or every phrase in this pasuk is referring to another one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So let's just read the pasuk, which appears in Bereishis Beis, and the Mefarshim say that that pasuk is superfluous, for whatever reason. We're not going to go into that now. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemar mikol eitz hagan achol tochel. So vayitzav, first we take the word vayitzav. What is tzivui? Elu hadinim, and this is based on a pasuk in Parshas Vayera. Because the pasuk says, regarding Avram Avinu, and why he was chosen by Hashem, ki yidativ leman asher yitzav es bonav. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, mishpat. So if you have the Torah or it's number Gimel, and it says, Ki dativ l'man asher yitzav es bonav es beiso achra v'shamru derech Hashem lasos tzedaka u'mishpat. So the word u'mishpat here indicates that we're dealing with some sort of civil or rational moral law. And then the pasuk says, Hashem yudkei vavkei zu birchas Hashem, which we said is the shame Hamiyuchad, and that's a reference to cursing Hashem. Elohim is a reference to Avodah Zarah, because it says, Lo Yilcha Elohim Achirim. Al Ha'adam is a reference to Shvichas Damim, because of the pasuk that says, Shofech Dam Ha'adam Bidomo Yishofech. And that you'll see here in number Vav, Shofech Dom Ha'odom Ba'odom Domo Yishofech Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Es Ha'odom. So the phrase Al Ha'odom is a reference to, in our pasuk, in Bereishis is a reference to this pasuk, which is also in Bereishis with regard to Ben Noach, and that's Shvichas Dom. Then at the end of this pasuk, it says, in the middle of the pasuk, I should say, it says Lamar, and Lamar is a reference to Gilui Arayos. Why is that so? And Gemara says, V'chein hu omer, because of a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, where it's a reference to Gilui Arayos, and there the pasuk also mentions Lamar. Then the end of our pasuk in Bereishis says, Mikol Eitz Hagan. And Rashi explains that Mikol Eitz Hagan means everything is hefker, and therefore you can enjoy the benefits of the fruits of all the trees. Velo, this is coming to exclude gezel. So that which is privately owned, you're not allowed to steal. Achol tochel, velo aver minachai. Now how does the pasuk achol tochel, this is the last thing we did yesterday, how does that tell me to exclude aver minachai? So for that, we have Rashi, who says, V'lo Eivir Menachai, Rashi says, Ha'omed L'Achila, Ochol Tochel means, there's three lines down from the top of the page, that which is normally eaten. V'lo tochal evrim anachai. And why is that? So the behema b'chayeh eino umedes lachila. A live animal is a work animal, or it's used to produce wool, whatever it might be, but it's certainly not something that's designated for achila. A human being doesn't eat a live animal. So when it says in the pasuk ochel tochel, it means from that which is omed lachila, as Rashi says. He translates it in the English as designated for food, as opposed to a live animal, which is not considered designated for food. Now, he quotes here in the note, number 16, a Ran. The Ran has a very fascinating question over here. And he says that Ben Noach is not allowed to eat any meat whatsoever. The Torah only permitted to a Ben Noach Yerek HaSoda, that's which grows vegetation.
What did you say Ben Noach, as opposed to just Adam in general?
Or Adam in general.
Right.
And there was never a heter to Adam to eat meat. So why is the Torah prohibiting Evrim Nachai? Evrim Nachai L'chor comes under Basar. So if you take a look at Tosus, the second Tosus on the page, Ochel Teochel, he says, V'had ha'minu l'kaman t'lohuta li'odam harishon basal achila. Hainu, this is a mistake on our part, when we think that man was enjoined from eating meat. That's not true. There was no, man was not considered superior to the animals to the extent that he can kill an animal for the sake of his food. But once the animal is already dead, he's allowed to eat the animal, the carcass of the animal. But the exception here is going to be, he calls it lafuke, evrim anachai. Dafilu nafal me'elov osur. If let's say the animal was in some sort of an accident, and a limb of its body got somehow detached from the rest of the body, then from the perspective of Achilas Bas would be muta, because the man was not actively killing the animal. But from the perspective of this new derivation, Ochel Teochel V'lo Evrim Anachai, it became prohibited. Ki Asa Rav Yitzchak. Now, we thought that this derivation from Vayitzav, the pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis, is Holy of Holies, and no one could question that. But now Rav Yitzchak is going to move things around. And he says, Ivcha. He wants to suggest that Vayitzav zu avodas kochavim, and Elohim zu dinim. Vayitzav is avodas kochavim, and the word here, Elohim, is referring to dinim.
So that's exactly Ivcha. It's exactly the opposite.
Right. So he switches around Vayitzav and Elohim.
Is that because Elohim is also worse than judges? Is that why?
Right. Bishleim Elohim Zudinim. Elohim always refers to judges. Dichsiv and Nikra Balabais Elohim. And that you'll see as a pasuk in Parsha, in Mishpatim, Parsha, in Sefer Shmos. And therefore, it makes sense to him to say that Elohim is referring to Dinim, which really means that the word Elohim here can be read, you know, as it's written, because it's a secular word. And El Vayitzav, but the Gemara doesn't understand why Vayitzav is a reference, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, to Avodah Zarah. We had proofs that Vayitzav was a reference to Dinim, like in the Parsha in Vayera, referring to Avram Avinu. El Vayitzav zu Avodah Zarah. My mashma, where did he, from whence did he derive such a conclusion? Now he points out here that there are going to be nafgiminas between Rabbi Yitzchak and the previous statement of Rabbi Yochanan. You know, you and I may think, but that would be a mistake, that they're just juggling around the psukim. But the answer is, what is dinim? Is dinim some sort of a social system of ethics, or is it the dinim that we know of that were given to Bnei Yisrael? If you're deriving from Avram Avinu, so since Avram Avinu was before Matan Torah, therefore Dinim refers to some sort of a rational human system of justice. And that would be the first elevation, that the word Vayitzav is a reference to Dinim.
Why do you have to say that? Because Abraham knew, he kept Pesach and he did all these things, so he could have been Dinim. Like we
right.
Know.
The truth is, it got cut off here on the bottom. If you don't mind, I'm saying this all from memory. Let's see if he points it out here. He says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, derives the obligation for civil law from Avram, it is sufficient to observe any system of social order, since in Avram's time, before the Torah was given, no specific system had yet been instituted. However, according to Rabbi Yitzhak, who derives the obligation from the verse that refers to the Beis Din of Yisrael after Har Sinai, because again, it says V'nikra Baal Bayis El Elohim, and that's referring to a Beis Din Shel Yisrael. Therefore, the system of Dinim must be based on Israeli civil law. So he's not going with that Chazal that Avraham Avinu's system of justice was the post Matan Torah system.
Sounds like I said, he really was doing it properly.
Again, it was definitely proper for that period of time. Med Brachot before, but it was not proper for after Matan Torah. That's the shita of the Yad Ramah. So now the Gemara says, how do we know the Vayitzav is a reference to Avodah Zorah? Rav Chisda, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. There's a machlokas here between Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi and Rav Chisda. Chad Omar. One says in the parasha in Shmos and Kisisa by the Egel Azov, it says, Soro Maher Min Aderech Asher Tzivisim. And then it says, Asu Lahem Egel Zov. Now, you should emphasize, please, the word Asu. I already underlined it. Because it means they created an Egel Azov. That's the significance of the word Asu. We'll come back to that in just a second. V'chad Omar, and the other says that we derive it from a parasha in Nach, in Hoshea HaNovi. And how do we know that Vayitzav, based on Hoshea HaNovi, is a reference to Avodah Zarah? Pasuk says, Ashuk Ephraim Ritzutz Mishpat, Ki Hoil Holach Acharei Tzav. And this indicates that we were talking about a judgment of God, Rashi says, against the people, because they were guilty of holach acharei tzav. And tzav here means those who worship idols. Now what bothers my mind here in this Gemara, but we're not going to have time to discuss this, is we have a rule that you cannot derive isurim from Tanakh. It would seem from Nach, it would seem here that the Gemara says the exception maybe is Ben Noach, or alternatively, if there's a pasuk that addresses Ben Noach, but we don't know what the pasuk means, then we're allowed to derive from Nach exactly what the pasuk in Chumash means, but we always go back to the pasuk and the command that was given to Adam HaRishon. My Beit Nahi, the Gemara wants to know, is there a difference between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak, Ika Beit Nahi? If I derive it from the parish of Egel Azov, then Ove Kochav Sha'asa. Again, emphasizing the word Sha'asa, it's like we saw the word Asulahem. Avodah Zarah, that itself engenders a Chiyuv Misa, just simply because the Goy has created an idol. V'lo Hishtach, even though, despite that, he has not bowed down to the idol, which is not. Right, and that's not true for Yisrael. That's what the Gemara is going to be bothered by. Rav is going to ask Akash. We have a rule that any Avodah Zarah that is included in the prohibition to Yisrael is included to the prohibition, but no, but it can't go the other way around. But right now, the Gemara is suggesting that if, we don't know which one of the two Shitas, but if one of the two Shitas derives it from Egel Azov, then it's sufficient that the guy created an avodah zarah. But lamandi omar, right, lamandi omar asu is mishas asiyah machayef. Lamandi omar ki hoil halach from the pasuk in Hosea is adi ozel basra ufalach la. The word halach indicates that there was an actual worship, a bowing down to the idol. But it's not enough to have asu. Amar Rava, Rava doesn't like this. He says, "Umi, kamandi amar, could there be such an opinion that ovikam shasol avodah zarah lo shtafel chayev, that even for the creating of a pesel, he's chayev, even though he didn't worship it?" But Tanya, we have a brisa. Dvarim shebezdin shel Yisrael b'misan aleihem, any act of avodah zarah which would generate a chiyuv misa for Yisrael, ben Noach muzar aleihem, that applies to ben Noach. But ein bezdin shel Yisrael b'misan aleihem, ein ben Noach muzar aleihem. If there's no chiyuv misa for avodah zarah, because avodah zarah has different categories, there's something called avizrayud avodah zarah which inachayev misa. But the Gemara is talking now about those major four, the four major avodos, categories of avoda, for which you chayv misa. But if it doesn't fit into any of those four categories, it may be included in the more general avodah zarah. For example, Yisrael is enjoined from creating an idol, but that's not called mimisin aleh. He doesn't get misa for that if he doesn't worship the idol. And we so I don't know if Terach worshipped the idol or not, but if he was Nidon be Israel, he would not be Chayv Misa for selling idols and creating idols. Go
so,
ahead, David.
So what we're saying is that if it's, therefore it should be the same for a goy.
Right, and the Pesach finishes up and says, Ein ben Noach muzar alem, the only Azhara that's common to a Yisrael and a ben Noach are only that part of Avodah Zarah, that inner circle of Achiv Misa, Bezn Yisrael, Shal Yisrael B'Misan Aleh. But Ben Noach was never enjoined from those acts that are in the broader scope of Avodah Zarah, but are not Achiv Misa, Levute Mai. And what would be the exclusion that would be included in this Brisa, because it's only an Isra Avodah Zarah for Yisrael, but it's not a Achiv Misa, Lemute. So therefore, Rava says that this rice is coming to exclude creating an idol which you didn't worship. And if it's not a chiyuv misa by Yisrael, then it's not included in the prohibition to a ben Noach. And therefore, we have to come up with another explanation as to the nafkemina between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak, the two derivations, meaning one from the parasha of Egel Hazov and the other from the parasha in Hosea, Amar Papa. You know what? We can still accept that nafkemina. Rava was too quick to the draw to reject it. The nafkemina would be creating a pesel. We have the brisa that says that if Yisrael is not killed for that violation of Avodah Zarah, then a ben Noach is not even enjoined from that Avodah Zarah. So it's not referring to creating an idol. Because again, according to one man, the Omar, if we're deriving Vayitzav, Zu Avodah Zarah from the parasha of Egel Azov, the parasha mentions Asulahem in the pasuk of Tzav, of Tzivisim, but rather this price is Lemute Gipuf Vinishuk, that's kissing and hugging. And what's the deal with kissing and hugging? A Yisrael is not put to death for kissing or hugging Avodah Zarah. And by the way, we'll see in just a second that that's not really true. Yisrael, but right now, I'm only telling you that because I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that Gipuf and Nishuk is not Avodah Zarah Shememisim Aleha. The Maskana is that it is, but it all depends on a certain element here, which we'll see in just a second. So the Gemara now, in the name of Rav Pop, is suggesting the proposition that when this brisa comes to exclude some sort of form of avodah zarah in the broader scope, which the akum, the non-Jew is not enjoined from that form of avodah zarah, it's referring to showing this great love for an idol by hugging and kissing it. So the Gemara says, what kind of gipuf and nishuk is Rav Papa referring to? Because it's really not true to make this blanket statement that a Jew is not chayef a gipuf v'nishuk. Deman. What was the exact category, the description of this gipuf v'nishuk? Ilema kedarka. If you're going to tell me that he was worshipping the idol in the manner of kedarka, we'll see in Rashi what kedarka means, is bar ketolahu. Then for chibuk v'nishuk, if that's called kedarka, then he's chayev misa. So let's take a look at Rashi kedarka, which is about 10 lines down from the top. Derech avodasa bekach. This is the classical way that you worship avodah zara. What does that mean? In other words, avodah zara, again, we'd have to learn Masechet Avodah Zarah to really flesh this out, but Avodah Zarah is not objective, it's not absolute. It really depends upon a different, each form of Avodah Zarah is unique. Rashi illustrates this by telling us that you would be chayev misa for a derech of Avodah Zarah, which is derech bizoyon, afilu derech bizoyon. If that's the dark of a kaf, if that's the way they, and what would be an example, Rashi says, correct, of Avodah Zarah, which is derech bizoyon, and yet you chayev misa for that, and that's called Baal Piyar, or Zorek Evin Lamarkulis. And this is based on a Mishnah later on at Daf Samach. And Rashi says, V'kol shkein k'shu derech kavod, and if the way that you worship the idol is by kissing it and hugging it, then for sure you chayev misa. So Rav Papa, when he mentioned Gibuk V'nishuk, he should not be misunderstood. Chibuk V'nishuk might indeed, in certain cases and in certain contexts, generate a chiv misa, even for Yisrael, and therefore would definitely be included in the prohibition to ben, addressed to a ben noach. El lemute shalo kedarka. And with regard to shalo kedarka, we have a difference between a Yisrael and a ben noach, and a goy. With regard to Yisrael, he is enjoined from any form of Avodah Zarah, even if it's Shalom Kedarka. He's only Chayav Misa if it's Kedarka. And if it's Kedarka, he's Chayav Misa, whether it's Derech Bizoyon or Derech Kavod. If, on the other hand, it is Shalom Kedarka, then it's included in the general overriding scope, the all-inclusive scope of Yisrael, but it's not included in Akum. And that was the subject of the Braisa. So at this point, the Gemara defends the position that in the case of a guy, he might indeed be chayef for what? For creating an idol, even if he didn't worship the idol. And that's based on the derivation of Vayitzav from Tzivisim Asulahem in the parasha of Egel Azov. Now, in the Braisa, we have Dinim. And in fact, that might be even the first of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, if we derive it from Vayitzav. That was the original formulation of Rabbi Yochanan, that Vayitzav is a reference to the parsha of Avram Avinu, which is Dinim. And according to the Braisa, we derive Dinim not from Vayitzav, from Elohim, V'nikra Balabayis Elohim, but no matter how you slice the cake, we're going to derive an Iser from Ben Noach of Dinim. And the Gemara is surprised about that because of a Braisa. Ben Noach Ifkid, is Ben Noach really commanded on Dinim? V'atanya, we have a Braisa. Now, I'm amazed by this because what this Braisa is about to tell us, not explicitly, but because it omits Dinim, is that the Ben Noach is not obligated in Dinim. I'm fascinated by that. Again, we're not learning this B'Iyun, but I was always taught that what's common to basic morality for all of mankind is Dinim. You know, to say that the essence of moral law is not applicable to a guy. I don't know, that has philosophical implications.
But Dinim is a mitzvah tasei.
Right.
And all the others are mitzvah lo tasei.
Yeah, but could you imagine, David, if you take Dinim out of Ben Noach? I mean, it's literally anarchy, because again, the balance of what we're going to see for Ben Noach are basically what I would call ritual laws or idolatry, sexual morality, and so forth and so on. But, you know, dinim, that represents the whole civil system. You know, like, I was never in a lecture in England of law. I visited, you know, they allow you in England and sometimes even in America to be an observer in a legal, you know, in a legal case. It's really cool because, I don't know if this is true for all British courts, but at least the court that I was invited into, the judge was wearing a wig. You know, but I'd say, you know, imagine if you would take dinim. Okay, forget it. I retract my statement because we're not even finished with yesterday's stuff. Okay. So the Gemara says, we learn in a braisa, what's this braisa? Eser mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'mara. In other words, when the Jewish people got additional mitzvahs in Mara, which is based on a pasuk that we're going to analyze in just a minute, this is before Matan Torah, what happened in Mara, says the braisa, is that there was a review of the mitzvahs that they had already received as what? As B'nai Noach, because Klal Yisrael was still at that point before Matan Torah included in the commands that were, you know, they weren't free or exempt from the commands of B'nai Noach, and another three mitzvos were added to them. So they had seven mitzvos b'toras B'nai Noach, sheva shekibu alem B'nai Noach, that were already accepted and imposed upon the B'nai Noach way before Mora. And now, hosifa alem dinim v'shavis v'kibud avayim.
So in Mitzrayim, they didn't keep Shabbos. Is that what we're saying?
Correct. In fact, there's a long discussion here in the Achronim, which he just hints to here, as to why B'nai Noach, I'm sorry, as to why Klal Yisrael at Mara were given the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Again, what was the point or the purpose of reiterating it to a Klal Yisrael? They were already given those mitzvahs. Presumably, they knew those mitzvahs. Maybe Michael is saying that because of the Golos Mitzrayim, they lost contact with these Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. I don't know. There was some need for a review. But what's more important is Hosif Olim. Now the words Hosif Olim indicate that X, Y, and Z were never given to B'nai Noach. Because if they were already given, that's included in the number 7. The other, you know, we jack up from 7 to 3 by adding something that's unique to Ben Yisrael. So if you're talking about Shabbos, Nicha, I understand that Shabbos was given to Klal Yisrael. If you're talking about Kibbut Avayim, that's a little problematic because the Gemara in Kiddushin derives Kibbut Avayim from B'nai Noach, from Dom Ben Nesina. But you could say that Dom Ben Nesina went Me'al Me'ever. He wasn't commanded in Kibbut Avayim. Again, this has philosophical implications to say that Ben Noach is not commanded in honoring his parents. But okay, let's leave that for now. But then dinim. Now, how was dinim given to B'nai Yisrael as the add-on if we've assumed until now, both according to Rabbi Yochanan in Vayitzav and according to the Bryson deriving it from Elohim, that a Ben Noach is included in dinim? Why would dinim be added as an add-on, getting us from 7 to 10 for Klal Yisrael, if they were already given it within the 7 that was a repeat, a review of what was given to B'nai Noach? And now what the Gemara is going to try to address here is to see if perhaps the dinim that were given to B'nai Noach were in some sense limited, whereas the dinim given to Klal Yisrael were much broader in scope. So this is a very, what I call a lumdish sugya, meaning we're going to take dinim and break it down into two parts. One part is common and universal, and the other part of dinim is unique to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to go through various, you know, in this analysis, various possibilities as to what was the expansion of dinim as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned.
So we're saying the dinim was in the 7, but it was dinim of a certain kind, and there was
a limited kind of dinim. We'll say it's one category of dinim, and then there's a whole different dimension of dinim that were given to Klal Yisrael at Mara as an add-on. And by the way, this is not for us now, but Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim indicates that at Mora we were given Paraduma, and that's not mentioned here in this Braisa. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to square Rashi and Chumash. He probably had other sources. I'm not saying, but you should know. You know, keep it in mind that because the Torah Tamima wants to change the gears in Rashi and Chumash, but it's not true. There are many proofs. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has many proofs that Rashi is meduyak, and we were given Paraduma at Mora, and he has a whole discussion why we were given Paraduma at Mora. In any event, Dinim, how do we know, says the Gemara, that this Bryce, how does the Bryce itself logically derive the conclusion that Dinim were given at Mora? So remember I told you that we have to see the Pasuk at Mora, and the Pasuk says, this is in Shmos Perek Tesvav, it says Sham Sam Lochok Umishpat, and then it says Sham Niso, and the word Mishpat, as we discussed earlier today, is a reference to the moral law, and the moral law was given to Klal Yisrael at Mara, which implies, as the Gemara is asking, that it was never given to Bnei Noach, because otherwise, again, it doesn't give you that jump, that balance from 7 to 10. Shabbos v'kibud avaim d'chsiv, it says there in that same pasuk. No, I'm sorry. Now we're going back to Yisro, and in Parshas Yisro in the Aseret Divros it says Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokim, and this Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokim is a reference to two of the Aseret Divros that are now being given again at Mara, I shouldn't say again, because they were anticipating that which would be given at Matan Torah, namely Kibud Av Va'Em and Shabbos. Now again, I have a whole section here. Whoever photocopied this for me really meant well, but he cut me off on the bottom here. So I'm not faulting anyone, but what I can just tell you is that the Aseret HaDibros are given twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Yisro, and a second time in Parshas Vayeschanan. Now this pasuk of Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokim is the one discrepancy between the two that are given, and he says that in the second giving of the Aseret HaDibros, which is in Sefer Dvarim, and that's given with almost the exact text, but there are a few discrepancies between the two. And with regard to...
There's a lot of discrepancies.
Right, and with two major discrepancies, Zohar v'Shomer, but in any event, one of the major discrepancies is that in Parshas Vayeschanan, again, if we had time, we'd go through the Psukim, but I don't have time for that, and I apologize for that, but it says there, Kashetzivcha Elokim, Kashetzivcha Hashem Elokecha, with regard to two commandments, again, twice it says it in Parshas Vayeschanan, once with regard to Kibud Av Va'Em, and the other with regard to Shabbos. And the Gemara now is darshaning that the Kashet Sivcha with regard to these two mitzvahs of Shabbos and Kibud Av Va'Em, which are probably the only two mitzvahs in the Aseret HaDibros, except for maybe...
What do you mean the only two mitzvahs?
Maybe Anochi Hashem Elokecha. All the rest are Los Hases. These are the only two mitzvahs
I say.
Possibly Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which we have to know what Anochi Hashem Elokecha is, but certainly Shabbos and Kibud Av Va'Em are positive mitzvahs. And with regards to those two mitzvahs, it says Kashet Tzivcha. Why? Because back in Mara, Hashem wanted to give Klal Yisrael a little bit of a taste, a precursor of the mitzvahs Hashem. And what were those mitzvahs that Hashem gave them a taste of before they got to Har Sinai? This was to whet their appetite for Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. And those were Shabbos and Kibud Av Va'Em. Now Kibud Av Va'Em, maybe perhaps because we have an intuition, you know, it's almost a rational mitzvah that we understand, that we appreciate. And Shabbos maybe because Shabbos is a kind of a chok, in the sense that it's very demanding. But this would train them and prepare them for Matan Torah. But the point is that in Mara, Klal Yisrael were given these extra mitzvahs above and beyond Bnei Noach. So in the case of Dinim, we have the word Mishpat. In the cases of Kibbur Av Va'Em and Shabbos, we have Kasher Tzivcha, V'yom Rabbi Yehuda Kasher Tzivcha B'mara.
That when Shabbos is also Zachor V'Shamor, is positive and negative.
Maybe. I mean, if you say that Shomer means to abstain from Malacha, then you're right. Then Shomer would be negative. But the point of our sugya is to point out that the Kasher Tzivcha is not referring to Parshas Yisro, which that would be the simple pshat in the pasuk, meaning when you open up Parshas Yisro, and Moshe Rabbeinu is in his whole presentation in Sefer Dvarim, he says Kasher Tzivcha, you would have thought that's referring to Parshas Yisro. But the answer is no. The Gemara says that Kasher Tzivcha means even before Parshas Yisro, meaning before Matan Torah, referring to Mara. So now again, we have to figure out what's the difference between Dinim for all of mankind and Dinim that are given at Mara as a unique law for the Jewish nation. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Bar Avua, Lo Nitzercha, what is unique about the system that's given to Klal Yisrael? And the answer is, Li Eda V'Edim V'Hasra. In other words, there are certain details that are given at Mara. Brian, if you don't mind sitting not too far from me, because some of these pages unfortunately got cut off on the bottom. So they're given at Mara. And what was given at Mara? So these have to do with Eda, Edim, and Hasra. 56b3. Now, if you take a look at this description here, again, I got it's a little bit cut off over here, so I'm going to just give you. Oh, thank you so much. No, I need this. I'll give this right back to you. Literally, he says that there were three laws that about holding a trial, meaning these are the procedural laws that were given to Klal Yisrael. So number one, Eda means 23 judges, and the Gemara derives back at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin that Eda refers to the Bezdin, that Sanhedrin Akitana, which could put a person to death. That's Eda, that's 23. And then we need two witnesses. Again, these dinim don't apply to a Ben Noach. And number three, he says that with regard to a Yisrael, you need a Hasra. You can't put someone to death without a Hasra. You can't give Malkus without a Hasra. And these dinim were not given to a Ben Noach. For example, a Ben Noach doesn't need 23 judges. Actually, he needs Dayan Echad, V'eid Echad, only one witness, one judge. And Asarasam Zui Misasam, meaning that with regard to Ben Noach, there's no din and no requirement of a warning of Hasra. Ihachi, the Gemara says, that's a very beautiful pshat, Rav Nachman, and it's definitely true la halacha, but that's not what the Braisa is referring to. Because if you take a look at the Braisa, it says, Vosifu Aleim. And Vosifu Aleim is a reference to an entire system, an entire mitzvah in the case of Shabbos and Kibbur Av Va'Em, which is a whole gamut of laws. And Dinim means an entire system. If it's only details and regulations, then it wouldn't have said Hosifa Aleim Dinim. El Amar Rava, if you're looking for an entire system of law that was added to Klal Yisrael at Mara and was never given to a Ben Noach, then it's going to be a reference to what's called Knossos. Knossos means payments that go beyond the Keren. What I mean by Keren is that normal payments in civil law are compensation payments. The Torah gives for Klal Yisrael new payments which go above and beyond compensation. Like, I'll give you an example. A ganav pays how much? Kefil, right? So the original Keren that he pays, that's called Mammon, that's called Keren. And that would apply to a Ben Noach as it applies to Yisrael. But the kefal that's added, the extra 100%, that's above and beyond compensation. That's already a penalty called a knas. And that was given, according to Rava, at Mara to Klal Yisrael and exclusively to Klal Yisrael. So as far as Ben Noach is concerned, there's only exact compensation. And if, let's say, for example, there are two litigants in a non-Jewish court, they could work out what's called a pshara, and they could agree to a certain compromise, but there's no basis in the laws of Ben Noach and the system of Dinim to go beyond a normal compensation. At Mara, this was given to Klal Yisrael. That's called Dinei Knossos. The Gemara is still not happy with this, even though Dinei Knossos, in a certain sense, is a system. But Akati, nevertheless, Vahosifu, in quotation marks, to say that the Braisa, when it said Vahosifu Dinim, it means they gave them the system of Knossos, it should have said Vahosifu Bidinim, Miboile, it should have said. And what does it mean, Vahosifu Bidinim? That in addition to the system of dinim, they gave them bidinim within the context of dinim. They gave it, in other words, the wording of the braisa would seem to indicate that there was an entire system that was of law that was given to Klal Yisrael. Here, you're not really changing the system per se. You're not undermining the fiber of the system. You're only adding knossos, and which means penalties. But that's not. That doesn't justify the language Hosifu Dinim. If we would have said Hosifu Bid Dinim, you could get away with it. And therefore the Gemara is looking for another dimension of Dinim that was given specifically to Klal Yisrael. This is the third attempt. This too is going to fail. El Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lo Nitzcha El Lahoshiv Bezdin Bechol Plach Uplach Ubechol Ir V'Ir. Now let's try to explain this. There's what he called the lower courts, and then there are the higher courts. And the higher courts are necessary for appeal, which means that in a lower court, if I'm not happy with the judgment, I have the right to appeal and take it to a higher court. What are the lower courts and what are the higher courts? So every city had to be equipped with a local court. Now, exactly what the size of a city is, that's a sugya. I don't know if you had it. I think you had it in Sanhedrin already, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, or maybe it's coming up later on. It's a very small amount of people, but whatever it is, it has to be more than just a little teeny town. That's called b'chol ir v'ir.
Yeah.
The larger areas, which I guess you'd call in modern terms district court, that's called pelach u'pelach. He translates it as province. Okay, I would call it a district. It's the same idea. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming that a Ben Noach does not have an obligation to equip every single city with its own court system, but rather the larger courts, the district courts, would be sufficient. And the Gemara rejects that. For Bnei Noach Lo Ifki, you're telling me that there's no such obligation within the context of Dinim for mankind to set up these courts. Vasanya Ksheim, we have a brisa Ksheim Shnitztavu Yisrael Oshim Pati Dim Chol Pelach UPelach UBechol Ir VeYerkach Nitztavu Bnei Noach Lo Hoshiv Dinim Pati Dinim Bechol Pelach UPelach Bechol Ir VeYer. So this obligation is incumbent upon a Ben Noach as well as Yisrael. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk in Dvarim, in Perek Tezayin, says, "Shoftim v'shotrim titin l'chol v'chol sharech asher Hashem elokecha nosein l'chol shvatecha." So far, it seems like we're addressing Klal Yisrael, and it says "b'chol sharecha," which means in every city of Israel. And it's not enough to just have the provincial or the district courts, the larger courts. Like, for example, in the United States, I don't know if you're familiar, there's something called the state courts, and then there are city courts, municipal courts, and every state has a state court. So for example, I could sue someone in Brooklyn, New York, that's my hometown, and he could appeal to what's called Albany. Albany is the capital of the state of New York, and Albany is equipped with its own. But then the pasuk says, "Veshavtu es ha'am mishpat tzedek." Now, as we've indicated before, over and over again, the word mishpat, which we saw already in Parshas Vayera before the Torah was given to Avraham Avinu, that word mishpat indicates Ben Noach. And since the Torah says, "Tite lecha b'chol sharech," meaning in every one of your cities, and then it says, "Vishavtos a mishpat tzedek," therefore it's referring even to a Ben Noach. So once again, we're stuck with the fact that this brisa indicates that there's no command to dinim to Ben Noach. Ben Noach were never commanded on dinim. Haraya, dinim were given at Mora as an addition, an add-on to the seven mitzvahs which they already had as Bnei Noach. Elama Rava says, Enochinami, the author of this brisa that says that at Mora Klal Yisrael were given dinim, is of the opinion that Bnei Noach were never given dinim. Again, as I told you, I have problems with that. And who is that Tana? Tana Debei Menashe, who Demapik Dalid Chav, he takes out Dalid and Chav, which are just, you know, letters that indicate larger words. The Dalid indicates Dinim, and he takes this out of the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And the Chav indicates Birchas Hashem, which is very interesting, because Chaf is the third letter of the word Bracha, but for some reason the Gemara doesn't want to use the Beis and the Reish, and instead it uses the Chaf. But anyway, the Chaf is a symbol for Birchas Hashem, which we call Megadev. And Ben Noach, according to Rabbi Nasha, was never obligated neither in dinim nor in the iser of Birchas Hashem. And in its place, the ayil sach. Sach, the samach, is a reference to sirus. And the chaf is a reference to kelayim. Again, if you remember, we discussed yesterday, kelayim means laharbia, to take two species of animals and breed them together. So animal breeding might be a problem, according to Rabbi Nasha, for Ben Noach. And of course, you know that in the non-Jewish world, I mean, animal breeding is a major occupation. The Tana Debei Menashe, Sheva Mitzvahs Nitztavu Bnei Noach. And what's included in that list? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, Gezel, Eiver Menachai, so far so good, that's the first five, that's common to whatever we know from Rabbi Yochanan in the past. And then he adds, instead of Dinim and Birchas Hashem, he has Sirus V'Kelayim. So that's the first opinion in this brisa of Tana Debei Menashe. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, please don't believe in what I'm telling you now, but Tana Debei Menashe means it's a brisa that was brought by Bnei Menashe, by the Beis Medrash of Menashe. And it doesn't mean that necessarily the first opinion here in this brisa that we've learned so far is called Menashe. I don't know that that's so. I think Menashe was the one who brought the brisa. So that I would call this first opinion the Tanakama of the brisa of Bnei Menashe. But don't hold me on that. And who's the second Tana? And then there'll be a third Tana, is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam Arishon lo nitztave ela al avodah zarah bilvat. Wow. Instead of maintaining the number seven, the magic number seven, just juggling it around in different ways, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that there's only one mitzvah that was given to Bnei Noach. And what is that mitzvah? That mitzvah is avodah zarah. Shenemar vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam. I would underline the word Elokim, because the word Elokim here is a reference to the word Anochi Hashem. What does it say over there? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? It says Elokecha, and that's the Isra of Avodah Zarah, and that's also the word Elokim. Velo yelcha Elohim achirim al panai. Correct. Which is also there. Wow, that's really wild. So here he tells you that Tosus has an interesting twist here. This is five lines from the end of your page in Tosfos. He says, "Tafka Adav Rishon Kamar Afal Moder of Yehuda de Bnei Noach Nitztavu Achar Amavul." Michael, you touched on this issue before. Is there a difference between man up to the Mabul and man after the Mabul? So that which Rabbi Yehuda says, that man was only commanded in the Isra of Avodah Zarah, says Tosfos, that's only up to, but not after the Mabul. After the Mabul, he has a Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, our same Rabbi Yehuda, that Avram and Achai is Osir to Ben Noach. And therefore, Tosfos maintains, that's the way some interpret this Tosfos, that actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all of the Shev Mitzvahs are commanded to Ben Noach. But what Rabbi Yehuda is arguing about is what was the status of Adam Arishon. He only had Avodah Zarah. And if I'm not mistaken, the philosophers at the time of the Ari, which is 5 centuries ago, they tried to claim that even eating from Eitz Hadas was Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Afal Birchas Hashem. After all, the Pasuk says, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim. If it only said Elokim, so you could say that's referring to Elohim Achirim, which means Avodah Zarah. But it says Yudke Vavke, and that's the Shem Amiyucha, that's referring to Birchas Hashem. So Adam HaRishon got two mitzvahs, or two, I guess you'd say, Averos, Isurim. He got both Avodah Zarah and blasphemy. And now we have a third opinion. Now we have, what number are we up to? A fourth opinion, right? We had the Tanakama, we had Rabbi Yehuda, now we had Rabbi Ben Beseira, now we have the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim, Af Al Hadinim, that Bnei Noach were also commanded on Dinim. Now Rashi has a whole shtickle Torah here. Okay, I'll just learn the Rashi's with you. I'm not saying that I understand the Rashi, but Rashi claims that this whole debate here between the last three Tanoim is all revolves around the word Elohim. Now forget about the first Tana here, because he has Sheva Mitzvahs. But according to the last three Tanoim, that's Rabbi Yehuda, and Beseira, and the Acherim, and the Yesh Omrim, they are all trying to analyze the word Elohim. So Rashi says, for example, even Birchas Hashem, which was the second of those three opinions, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, is derived from the word Elohim. Because it says that God is commanding man to accept Elohuso. And the implication of that means Elohim lo sekalel, which is a pause, right? That you're not allowed to curse God. So therefore he adds blasphemy to the derivation of Elohim. And the third opinion, which is the Yesh Omrim, they say Afal Adinim. That's also, says Rashi, this is about 7 lines up from the bottom of the page, Me Elohim Nami Nafka. Now how do you get from the word Elohim to Dayonim? For Dinim, so I thought it was maybe a reference to the parasha of V'nikra Balabais Elohim, but Rashi says a different shtickle Torah. Rashi is committed to the fact that they're all dashing this pasuk and the meaning inherent in this pasuk, not from other. And Elohim, he says, is Elokus Yehei Elokusai Olecha Lios Moroi Olecha, that you should accept God as the deity, and therefore you should have a fear and a reverence to Almighty God. Velo Mora Basar Vadam. And if you fear God, then you shouldn't be worried about man. Right? The greatest challenge that a judge will face is because, you know, if he wants to show favoritism to one, you know, to one of the litigants, but for whatever reason. And the answer is no. You should have fear of God upon you. Kiman azla ha di omar Rabbi Yehuda marav. The Gemara now wants to know that based on the last part of this brisa, how do we align up a statement in the name of Rav? What was his statement? Elohim ani lo sekaleluni. That the word Elohim, this is where Rashi got it from, is Losa Kaluni, you shouldn't curse me, because I am God, is Elokim ani los miruni Elokim ani yehi moray aleichem. This is what Rashi was presenting before. Kiman ki yesh omrim, because again the yesh omrim, if you remember, added to the list of avodah zarah and berachas Hashem dinim. And this statement of Rav interprets the Elokim back in the pasuk in Bereishis in three different ways. I am your God, number one, that you shouldn't worship an idol. I am your God, that you should have my fear upon you and not curse me. I am your God, that you should have fear upon you and not violate the laws of justice. Keman ki yesh omrim. So this statement of Rav is to be identified with the last opinion in the Braisa. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to Tana Dvei Menashe, meaning the Tanakama of this Braisa. And the Gemara says, Mimon Efshach, I don't understand. What does it mean that there's only, that there are Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but they're not, they don't include Dach, right? They don't include Birchas Hashem and Dinim. I don't get it, says the Gemara. Idarish Vayitzav, if he accepts Rabbi Yochanan that we had earlier, who darshans everything from the word Vayitzav, is Afilu Hanach Nami. Even Dinim and Birchas Hashem should be derived. We had the word Hashem, right, the Yudke Vavke in that Pasuk in Vayitzav, and which taught me Birchas Hashem, and we had Elokim, which taught me Dinim. Because Benikra Balabai says, Elo Dorish Vayitzav. And if on the other hand you're going to tell me, well, he didn't derive these two because he never had the drasha of Vayitzav, is Hani Minole. He does have a list of seven. And the Gemara answers, Li Olam Lo Dorish Vayitzav, that Tana Dvei Menashe never accepted Vayitzav as a drasha. But these seven called Chada v'Chada b'Api Nafshi Ksiva. Each one is derived from its own pasuk. Now let's see how he derives this. Avodah Zarah v'Gilui Arayos. The Ksiva, going back to the Mabul. And Rabosai, it seems to me, and again, please accept this with very critical eyes, because I have no idea if what I'm about to tell you is correct. But it seems to me that the Gemara is assuming that the rule that the famous rule that we discussed many times of Ein Onshim Elin Ke Mazhirin, which means that in the Torah you have to find not only an Onesh, but you have to have an Azhara, that doesn't apply to a Ben Noach.
Yeah. Well, we established that already.
Oh, we did say that? Yeah. No, we said that a Ben Noach doesn't require a warning.
Yes.
But as far as the structure of the Torah, when you're deriving his prohibitions, I would have thought that you need an Azhara. But from the Mabul, we're going to only derive the punishment. So again, as I say, this is very, first thought. I don't know if what I'm saying is true. We have to really go through the sugya very carefully. Tichsiv, the Torah says, Vatishoche sa'aretz lifnei Elohim. That why was the flood brought upon that generation is because of Vatishoches. The meaning of Ashchos is a twofold meaning. Number one, it's in Dvar Erva. The Torah says that Ashchos is a reference to sexual abuse, if you will. And we're going to explain that based on the fact that already at that generation they were guilty of sexual crimes, both in the heterosexual and the homosexual areas, because the parasha Benos Elohim, you remember that parasha at the end of Bereishis, even before the flood? And Ashchosa also refers to Avodah Zarah. Dichsiv pentashchisun va'asisem. That the Torah itself in Sefer Dvarim at the very beginning tells us that Hashchasa is a reference to Avodah Zarah. It means that Adam HaRishon was given both Avodah Zorah and Gilui Arayos, and the people at the generation of the flood were guilty of violating both of these. So we're now on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, which is today's Daf. I'm laughing at myself.
Can I suggest maybe that if you're still doing it tomorrow, that we do this stuff ourselves and we start tomorrow the right stuff?
All right, so I'll just do whatever I can now, and then the rest you can do on your own.
Okay. Tomorrow on the
if that's what you want. Again, yeah. I would do it differently, but whatever you gentlemen want, I'm a servant of mankind. A servant of mankind.
What would you do?
I would try to hope that we can catch up in the next few days. I'm just waiting for that, that breakthrough where I can jump ahead, and I know it's going to come.
Okay.
I don't know exactly when. So we'll see. You know what? Let me prepare for tomorrow's shiur. Hopefully I'll have time today to prepare for tomorrow, and I'll see, if I think I can chop around, a lot. If you listen to Kol Chai, by the way, it's amazing. He moves at the speed of light. He takes it from a sifta. I don't have a sifta. And he packs in 2 blot in an hour. With Iyun, by the way, with the Haaretz, because he doesn't take a breath of air. It's pre-recorded, by the way. The Idach and the other Tana would say what? Because again, the other Tana is of the opinion that all we're left with is the 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach derived from Adam HaRishon, and he's not going to derive it from the Mabul. So why doesn't he derive it from the Mabul? And the Gemara answers, Archayu deka megale, that the Torah is telling us why the generation of the Mabul was destroyed, but it doesn't necessarily tell me that these are violations. Which seems to imply that maybe there's a system of morality, theoretically, that goes even beyond the technicality. That Hashem could say at some point that there's a generation that's so evil that they have to be wiped off. I'm not talking about the after the bris, but you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't necessarily mean that these were included in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Let's just take a look. Again, I don't have the Rashi because even the Gemara Sanhedrin I looked for today and I couldn't find it. So I'm going to try to ask you if you could take a look at Orchayu de Kamagali, and if you could read the Rashi for me. You see such a Rashi? Orchayu de Kamagali? No. All right. So we'll go on for the time being. Shvichus Damim, according to the Tana de Bei Menashe, what's the source for Shvichus Damim? Because again, the Gemara is maintaining now that Tana de Bei Menashe learns each one of the 7 mitzvahs from its own source. Dechsiv, the Torah says, Shofech Dam HaAdam B'Damo Yishofech, that he who sheds the blood of someone else, he would be killed B'Damo Yishofech. And B'Damo Yishofech, by the way, is a reference to the Misa of Saif. And we're going to derive all the Sheva Mitzvahs from Ritzicha, that in the case of Menach, you're always Chayef Saif. The Idach, what about the others? Kitolayu, in other words, the other Tanoim that don't derive from this Pasuk, the Isa Ritzicha to a Menach, Kitolayu hu dekamagali. The Torah is only telling us Misa Saif, but it's not telling us the basic Isur. Gezel, what's the source according to Tana de Bei Menashe for the Isur? Gezel, ki yerek esev nasati lochem eskol. That whatever I gave you to eat is like yerech hasoda. It's something that is hefker, and anyone could take it. It's for the taking. But something that's possessed by an individual, that you can't. V'omer ablevi, ki yerek esev alo ki yerek Gina, that Yerek Esev is that which grows wild and nobody owns it, as opposed to Yerek Gina, which is grown in somebody's back, in what do you call it, his back patch, what do you call it, his private garden, that's Gezel. The Idach, why don't the other Tanoim, and when I say Tanoim, I include the Brisa and and all its Tannaim plus Rabbi Yochanan that we had earlier, why don't they derive it from Yerek, Ki Yerek Esev, Ahu Lemishrei Basar, who this pasuk is coming to permit the eating of meat. Again, this is only after Noah comes out of the Teva. And at that point, Hashem says, Ki Yerek Esev, I'm giving you everything, including meat, which means that now a Benoch is allowed to kill an animal in order to eat its meat. And therefore, since I need the pasuk for meat, I cannot use that pasuk for what? For Gezel. Avram and Achai, what's the source for Avram and Achai in the Torah? The Siv, Ach Bosor, Benafsho, Domo, Lo Sochelu. Flesh with its soul, which is its blood, thou shalt not eat. So if it has blood, blood is always considered that life force. It means that the animal is still alive, and if you remove basar, which means some sort of flesh or a limb from the animal, that's, while it's alive, that's considered aver minachai. Which, by the way, would seem to indicate, although I'm not saying it's proof, that aver minachai is some sort of logical, rational law. Meaning, with regard to the other six mitzvahs b'nei Noach, I can tell you that they're rational. But with regard to aver minachai, that sounds more ritual. It's like macholos asuros, but perhaps there's a certain philosophy here that that underlies the iser of aver minachai. You know, if you take the flesh of an animal, that's kind of cruel. Ve'idach, why did the other Tanoim refuse to use this pasuk as a source for aver minachai? Ahula mishrei shrotzim hudiyasa. This is a little bit complicated, but let's just take it on a superficial level for now. That the Benoch is allowed to eat the limbs of a sheretz. It means the Iser Avraham Achai only applies to animals, chayos and ofos, but it doesn't apply to shrotzim. And again, if you have a chance, I don't have the chance now, but maybe tomorrow we'll look at this entire presentation here on the bottom, which is a very serious lumdish discussion about shrotzim.
If we haven't got time today, we won't have time tomorrow either.
Tomorrow, if you come at 6, I meant to say. Yeah. I'm punishing you here. Okay, punishing you for my fault. Seirus. Now, again, according to this Tana, you remember that he substitutes Seirus for Dinim. So, what's Seirus? Is Dechsiv, what's the source of Shir Tzubar to Revuba, which is really a positive command to multiply. But if you masari someone, then obviously it means he won't be able to be Makayim the period of Arivia, which is a universal command given to all of mankind. Again, this is also very complicated because Pru Revu is really a Naseh, and the Benot doesn't have a Naseh of period of Arivia. But the Tana to Bei Menashe is learning a remez, so to speak, from the fact that the Torah says Pru Revu, and that's given to Ben Noach. The implication is that a Ben Noach is enjoined from Sirus Ve'idach, and the others say that this is not a command at all. It's not like you can derive from an essay a los aseh. Lebracha bi'alma. All right, it doesn't say who did siv, but it could have said who did siv, meaning the pasuk is only giving a blessing to Noach, you know, because now the earth is completely desolate after the marvel that they'll be able to procreate and they'll be able to inhabit, you know, to inhabit the land, the entire earth. But now we get to Kelayim. This is the last on the list. The Tana de Bei Menashe has Kelayim. And as I said before, that means Larbiya Kelayim. Dechsiv Meha'of Liminehu. That every oaf was given to Ben Noach Liminehu, for its species. And that means that Noach was commanded to take into the Teva a male and a female of each species, that they would procreate. And now the Torah is saying that Meha'of Liminehu, that from the animals that were taken into the ark, they will be taken out of the ark because the male and the female propagated its species, but we're not allowed to combine two species and be marbia them and crossbreed them. Ve'idach, why doesn't the the balance of this brayso, all the other tanoim in the brayso, why don't they agree that this pasuk can teach us the isa kelayim of larbiya kelayim for ben noach, ahu litzavsa bi alma? In other words, when the Torah says to, when Hashem commands Noah to take in, you know, each species with male and female, that means not for the purpose of propagation, but rather for the purpose of companionship, meaning that the male and the female would be companions. And again, you might wonder why, on a philosophical level, Hashem thought it was so important that there be companionship. That's an interesting question. Omar of Yosef Amri Beirav, now what Amri Beirav means is a gigantic issue. Some say it always refers to Rav Kahana, some say it's a statement that's attributed to Beirav, but we disagree with that statement. Again, the phrase Amri Beirav has a lot of different meanings to it. Al Shalosh Mitzvahs Ben Noach Nerak, that a Ben Noach is only put to death for three of the violations. And what are those three violations? That's called Gesher. Gesher is the simon. What does Gesher mean? This is a mnemonic device to help us remember. Number one, Gimel is Gilui Arayis. Number two, Shin is Shvichas Dom. Number three, Reish is Birchas Hashem.
Now it uses the
Reish. Because the Gemara doesn't want to confuse you with the others, you know, and then soon we're going to see what the base symbolizes. Maskif Lorav Sheshes, Bishleim Shvichas Domim. I understand why a Ben Noach is Chayav Misa for bloodshed. Dixiv Shofech Domo Adam, and there it says, Domo Yishofech. We shed his blood. Elo Hanoch Minolahu. But what about Gili Arayis and Birchas Hashem? I Gomar Mishvichas Domim. If we're going to have some sort of an equation here, a hekesh between Gili Arayis and Birchas Hashem and Shvichas Domim, Shvichas Domim now becomes the paradigm. Is Afilu Kula Nami? Then why are you telling me that for the balance of the seven, he's not Chayav Misa? We should have this equation of you know, there's some sort of unit called Shiva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and whatever they commanded on, it should be like Shvichas Domim. It should always be Chayav Misa V'imishum the Yisrabe Me'ish is. And if you'll tell me that in these two cases of Shvichas Domim and Gili Arayis, it says Ish is Avodas Kochovim Nami Yisrabe Me'ish. So if you take a look in footnote number 21, he points out that in the parasha of Mekalel it says Ish, so that's called Birchas Hashem, and that Ish is coming to Marba that Birchas Hashem has the same status of a Chiv Misa, because in the context, do you remember, of Birchas Hashem, it says that you put the violator to death. And then with regard to Gili Arayis, this is in Vayikra Yud Ches. It says Ish as Kol She'er B'sar Lo Sikrevu, and therefore Ish means not only Ish Yisrael, but even an Ish Ben Noach. Is then what about Avodas Kochavim? Avodas Kochavim is not on the list of Gesher of Amri de Beirav, and yet in the parasha of Avodas Zorah, it says okay. Now here you get into technicalities. This is really not the parasha of Avodah Zarah per se, but in the parasha of Molech, which is in Vayikra Perek Chaf, it says Ish, and that should come to, and the Torah says Mos Yumos, that he's put to death. So we might include Avodah Zarah amongst the list of those violations which generate a chiyuv misa. Elam Rav Sheshes Amri de Beirav is Al Arba Mitzvahs Ben Noach Nerag. We're going to have to expand it and include Avodah Zarah.
So it doesn't include all seven, because you haven't got Ish and all seven.
Correct, so we have four now, but we had, before we had only three, we had Gesher. Now we're adding to Gesher Avodah Zarah. So it's Gesher Ah. V'al Avodas Kochavim Ben Noach Nerag. Is that really true that you put a Ben Noach to death on Avodah Zarah Vasanya? Avodas Kochavim Dvarim Shebezdin Shal Yisrael Memisim Aleihem Ben Noach Muzar Aleihem Azhora In Misalo. The Brisa seems to indicate that when you have a Yisrael and a Bezdin Shal Yisrael could put a person to death for violating Avodah Zarah, then a Ben Noach is Muzar. But you remember we had this Brisa that said that there's only an Azhara, but Misa Lo. implying that you don't put a Ben Noach to death. So, for example, we discussed the issue of Gibuf and Nishuk and other issues, and here the Brisa seems to clearly indicate that we don't give Misa for Avodah Zarah. And once again, that would sort of support the original Gesher of formulation of Amri de Bein Noach without adding an ayin. But if you're going to use each, then I'm going to have to add Avodah Zarah to the list, and this price contradicts that. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Azhara Shalahem Zuhi Misasam. That as long as the Torah says that they're not allowed to do X, whatever that is, and that's derived from ish, that already is going to generate a chiyuv Misa. So let's see if I can, you know, just stretch this out for another few minutes and see if we can make a little bit of progress here on Daf Nun Zayin. And the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Huna, of Rav Yehuda, Kula Talmidi de Rav Amri, Al Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, Ben Noach is Nerag. We indeed put a Ben Noach to death for all seven mitzvahs. Goli Rachmana Bechada, once the Torah told us in the case of Ritzich of Shlichas Damin, Hu Adin Lekulu, it applies as a unit to all seven. The Gemara says, is that really true? Vala Gezel Ben Noach Nerag? Is it really true that we're going to put a Ben Noach to death for theft? And now the Gemara is going to get into two different categories of theft. For Asanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ala Gezel. With regard to a Ben Noach, there's Gezel. Now keep in mind the difference between Gezel and Gneva is that Gezel is something out there in the public eye, whereas Gneva means stealthily. Is Gana V'Gozal V'Chein Yifas Toar. If he stole or he robbed. We once had a different word than robbed. I think that was, we had a better word for it. Anyway, and Yifas Toar. Now Yifas Toar is going to be also a kind of subcategory of Gezel. V'chein kol kayotze b'zeh. If I take someone away from someone else, that's called something away from someone else, that's called Gezel. Kusi b'kusi, b'kusi b'Yisrael asur, but Yisrael b'kusi mutar. So even though Gezel applies between one guy and another, or a guy who steals from a Jew, but with regard to a Yisrael who steals from a kusi, that's already mutar. Again, we've discussed kusim in the past and what that means, so we won't get into it. Now, v'im isa, why does the Braisa say asur with regard to gezel? The word asur always in every Braisa is to be contrasted with the word chayav. Chayav means he gets the punishment. V'im isa, if you're telling me that even for gezel, a ben noach is going to be put to death, is nisne chayav? It should have said the word chayav in the Braisa. And the Gemara answers, mishum dekaboy lemisne seifa. Because of the Sefer that it says Yisrael Bekusi Mutar is Tonanami Asur, sometimes the symmetry is very important. So in the Sefer with regard to Yisrael it says Mutar, and therefore in the Reish it says the word Asur, but it really means Chayav. So we'll stop here up to Vaha Kol Hecha De Isle Chiyuva, and again we'll decide tomorrow whether or not we can fit this all in and maybe do Nun Zayin and parts of at least Nun Ches, until maybe when we get to Nun Ches we can do Nun Ches and Nun Ches together, because that's the finale of this whole sugya of Ben Noach. Okay then? So wish everyone a great day.